Welcome back to the Just Because podcast, a podcast featuring all things life and cosplay. And yes, it's me, it's Jeremy again. I'm not leaving just yet. Because this time, as part of our little continued collaboration with Smash, we're getting the chance to have a chat with lots of our cosplay guests that are going to be joining us down in Sydney later in July this year. And who better to join us on the podcast than one of our very own special guests for Smash, all the way from Singapore. As you might know them, they're a professional full-time cosplayer for over 10 years. She's been traveling the world. She's a streamer. I've just learned she just dropped her own mixtape. She's got a smile that lights up the world. Everybody, please welcome to the podcast and say hello, Keo from Singapore.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Now, Keo, we've only been chatting for just a little bit, but for anybody who doesn't know you, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am a cosplayer from Singapore. I've been cosplaying for over like a decade now. I usually play a lot of games. I do stream sometimes when I'm free, and it's just chill, man. It's chill.
Excellent. Has cosplay been like your number one? Yep, this is my job, this is my passion ever since day one, since you were a little kid all the way up till now? Has it that kind of been your thing?
Oh, no, no, not at all. It's like, when you first start, I mean, you know, Asian family, they're always like, oh, no, you're not doing this, man. You're not going to do this. This is not a job. Like, what are you doing? My mom used to always be like, what are you doing? You're wearing this, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Oh, you had the same experience as me then. Oh my god. Okay. So where did it start for you then? Was it something that started when, I know, you were in high school, or when you finished school altogether, or did it start even earlier than that?
I started like right when I got into high school.
Okay.
So like I was actually like introduced by a mutual friend who was already in the community, and back then it was like really small.
Okay.
So like he was like, hey, do you want to go to this event like this coming weekend and stuff like that? And I was like, dude, back then I was like in my, you know, you have that one period of time where you're like in your prime weeb era.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just been like consuming all the anime, and I was just like, okay, sure, let's go. And I went there and I just saw like everybody in costumes and stuff, and you know how, like, I mean, you don't really do it now, but back then literally everyone was just like so into role-playing.
Oh my god. Okay, so anyone doesn't know, people say, okay, cosplay, what does that word mean? People are like, oh, it's costume play, you dress up in a costume and you play around. No, back in the day it was costume role-play. So you were the character that you dressed up as, and if you didn't, you'd be letting some people down. Were you a role player, Keo? Did you get into character?
No, I was very shy, so no. I watched people do like you know, because you know they always have the girls that like BL, and they start like hugging each other and stuff, and I was like, yo, that's kind of wild.
Did you join in? Was that your thing? Like, no judgment.
No, I was just like, I didn't, but like I watched from afar, and I was like, I see how it is here.
Ah, and that's what attracted you to cosplay, all the kind of the BL stuff and wanting to.
No, I'm actually not into BL, yeah. But like, good for those who do. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
But like, it was just like the whole vibe there. Like, it was so welcoming and it was very fun. And like, you could just like, it was just really interesting how like people express
their
like towards like. Yeah, the yeah. Passions towards like a character or an anime or something like that. I thought it was cool. So I was like, oh, I'll give it a go.
That's cool. And it's obviously been something that you've stuck around with for, you know, the better part of a decade. And it's obviously something which it's allowed you to have some opportunities to meet different people and travel different places. Is that something that you kind of aimed for when you started? Or is it something that you kind of fell into as, you know, as a job?
Oh, it's definitely something that I fell into. I didn't even know that this could be a thing.
Okay, so where
I think
was
it goes for like most jobs these days. You're like, it wasn't a thing back then at all.
And then now it's like, oh, and now it's a thing. So how did you kind of fall into it? Was it something in which, you know, someone from a company, I know, decided to come and talk to you? Or was it something in which you, you know, went around to events and you met different people, you met different companies, and you kind of had talks that way? So how did you kind of get started in what you're doing?
I know, actually for me it started when Patreon first came about.
Okay.
Because I graduated from high school. I went to like work and stuff there. So I was just like juggling cosplaying and working a full-time job. So I was just doing that. And then suddenly Patreon came about and I was like, oh, this looks kind of interesting. Let me just try it out. And eventually it got to a point where the amount I earned on Patreon was more than what my job was paying me. And then I had to like sit down and think for a bit because you know, it's like, you don't know, because it was a new platform, right? So, like, you don't know how this is gonna go. So, I had to be like, okay, is it worth investing, like, all my time in? And then eventually I was like, you know what? Honestly, I don't really have much to lose. If not, I'll just, like, go find another job, I guess. But, like, I was just like, yeah, sure.
And so
And I did it, and I was like,
is that something you've kept on doing ever since you started and you're kind of still making that's kind of your full-time job still to this day?
I would say it's kind of like it did like expand to other areas, but that's like the base of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just for yourself, because the reason I ask this more than anything else is there's obviously a lot of people who do cosplay and it's, you know, their main passion, their main interest, and you know, using cosplay as a tool or as their hobby to fund their lifestyle or fund their interests full time or even part time to some degree, it's something that a lot of people are interested in. And you know, for some people, their goal is, oh, let's get to, I don't know, 10,000 followers or something. Let's get to 100,000 followers and then, you know, start meeting people and getting paid to travel places. But obviously it's not as simple as, you know, get to a certain number of followers, get that invitation, start getting paid. So for yourself, you know, Patreon's obviously one way of funding the way that you run your business and run your lifestyle. What other kind of ways do you kind of diversify your career so, you know, that allows it to pay for what you do?
As of right now, I do booth at events, like both locally and like sometimes internationally, but I didn't really do that until like maybe like the past the halfway point of like my career, 'cause like I didn't really know, 'cause when I first started, most of the people that follow my works, they weren't like local. They were like overseas.
Okay.
So it was like a little like I didn't have the confidence to like put myself out there locally. I was just like, no one's gonna show up, you know, I'm just gonna sit there. And until like it came to a point after, not after, I think in the middle of COVID, like maybe near to the end where like things started like easing up. And because you know people they couldn't like have people from overseas come over because of all the like control and all that, so it gave more exposure to for me and a lot of other people like locally, like who aren't aware, like especially most of them are like the TikTok kids now, like they haven't been exposed to the actual community because we've just been like locked up, so like. Yeah, so like when it gave us more of an exposure to the local scene, so like it kind of grew, it kind of helped us there. Aside from boofing, honestly, it's just like random like jobs I get like here and there from like companies, but I think that's kind of it, really.
No, that's really cool. If you don't mind speaking about like jobs with companies, because I know in Singapore and a lot of Southeast Asia, there's definitely a lot more, I guess, opportunity in the industry because you are closer to where a lot of you know companies, game companies are based as well. And I know Singapore's got quite their own little hub for game developers and you know people starting up their own companies in a central place of the world like that. Because in Australia, it's only kind of just developing the games industry and companies kind of collaborating with people here. But for people like yourself and other cosplayers in Singapore, what is, do you say it's a very, you know, I guess, good industry to be in as a cosplayer, or do you feel like you have to be working really hard or you have to get really lucky to be able to do the kind of work that you do?
You definitely had to put in quite a bit of effort because a lot of these companies like they give you really strict deadlines. So like you really have to do it like really fast. But they are generally pretty like they're not that nitpicky when it comes to people. So like you could get opportunities like they will still approach you. Like it doesn't mean like you 100% get the job, but like they will like dig around, you know, the community to see like to find like a pool of people. So you don't have to be like of a certain level. I mean, if you're of a certain level, like people will know, they will know you like like easier, I guess it's easier to find you, but they'll do their like research. They'll go digging. They'll like spam everybody and be like, hey.
We're after this kind of person. Who do you reckon's good kind of thing?
Yeah, they'll be like, are you interested in this? And like, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. What's the community like for yourself personally in Singapore? Is everyone really, you know, everyone kind of knows each other and we all kind of get along? Or is it very, you know, very business-minded all the time? What's the cosplay community like in Singapore if someone was to come and visit?
Generally, I think we're, for the people that I know, because there's like, it grew like intensely after COVID.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of people that I still don't know and I probably will not know because there's just too many people. The people that I do know we're all pretty chill, yeah. We're just here to have a good time.
That's really nice.
Like we're just there to hang out most of the time because everyone's busy. Because you know, like especially in Singapore, everyone's like working, studying, and like sometimes even though the country is small, most of us don't really see each other that much. Wow. So like it's kind of like a time where we all just gather and hang out and chill.
That's nice. I think that's as we get older. Oh no, but as we get older, I think that's what it becomes more about. Just you know. Catching up with people that you haven't seen in a while, or you know, meeting people who happen to be there as well in the same costume at the same time. But it's less about oh, let's go to the con and go shopping and see what else is around, and it's more just like oh wow, I haven't seen this person in 6 months. Let's catch up over.
I think it's still partially the shopping thing for some people, though.
Yeah, I still find that really surprising. That's like they go there specifically to buy things, I suppose, but. You know, I know Singapore as well. It's very close to Japan, and you know, getting to Japan's not too difficult these days. So, God, I went there for the first time last year, and I should have packed an extra suitcase. It was terrible.
Oh yeah, you bring home so much stuff.
Now, for yourself, growing up, because you mentioned that cosplay wasn't one of those things that you said, yes, this is what I know I want to do. This is what I kind of grow up. What were your earlier goals, I suppose, as you were growing up, you know, going through school, going through university, did you have any other kind of, you know, goals or interests, and that kind of got put to the side because, you know, this opportunity to do cosplay kind of came up?
Honestly, I don't think I really did. I was, like, that kind of kid where I just, like, daydream in school because I wasn't really, like, that academically gifted. Like, I wasn't into, like, all the studies. Like I was more of a practical kind of person, so I was just like, yo, put me out there, I'm gonna go work a job kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think I really had like any particular like aspirations. I mean, at one point I did want to be a singer, but that was me at like when I was a kid, and I was just like, I didn't know anything about the music industry, and now the point that I did, I was like, okay, that's too much it's too much work. But I don't think I really did. I was just the kind of person that just like, you know, I ride the wave. If it gets me somewhere, I'll do something about it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's really cool to know. And obviously with where you've gone with cosplay, it's not something that you expected to get to where it is now, but obviously it's the wave's still going. It you know, comes up and down, but it's still going.
Don't even know, like people ask me, they're like, yo, what are you gonna do in the future? You can't be doing this the whole time because you're gonna like get old and stuff. I'm like, I actually have no idea.
I have no idea. Just gonna ask that, is cosplay, you know, something you still see yourself doing, at least for now, for the, you know, indefinite future? Is that something that you're still like, yeah, I still really love doing it, I still love you know, representing companies, traveling and stuff? Or do you feel like it's something that, oh, you know, it's starting to get to that stage of my life, I'm kind of wanting to put it down? Like, how do you feel about it at the moment?
Honestly, when it comes to cosplay now, I still do enjoy it. It's just that, like, every now and then, because it's no longer, like, 100%, like, your hobby, like, it's part of, like, your job now.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you don't always love your job.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like one of those, it's like the when you go through the whole process, you're like, oh my god, I hate this. but then I think that goes for most cosplayers, even if you're not doing it as a job, you're like doing the things, right? And you're just like, I hate this, I hate myself, why is everything doing like, why is it like this? Oh my god, pain. And then you see the results and you're like, it's not that bad.
Just trust the process. You know, this sucks now, but I know it's gonna pay off at the end, so
And then you torture yourself again.
Oh, as is the life of every cosplayer. It's like, why am I doing this? Then you do it, and you're like, wow.
Am I a masochist? Like, what is this?
I think that's all of us to some degree. It's just like, hey, why am I doing this? You're suffering. You wear it. You're like, wow, I look hot.
You're like, I hate this. And then you're like, actually, it's not that bad.
And it's in that moment when you're in that high, you're like, you know what? Let's make another plan. Let's do it again. And then as you start doing, you're like, oh, fuck, not this again. Here we go.
I hear this.
To that degree, have there been any... Actually, I've got to ask. Have there been any costumes? Have there been any moments in your career so far which you feel like you actually got to that low point, which you're like, oh, stuff this. I think this is going to be my last one. I'm done with cosplay after this. Have you kind of had any times which you thought, no, I'm going to quit?
Okay, maybe not so much I'm gonna quit. It's just like, you're just like, God, why am I doing this mental breakdown moment at like 5 a.m. with like a glue gun? No, but like at one point in my career, I think maybe three years in, I did take like a short break, but I was still in high school because, you know, like at that point in like your age, you're still like, you don't really kind of know where you're going.
No.
So like at that point, I was just like, I don't really feel that interested in like what I'm doing anymore. So I did actually take like a year off to just like enjoy like my life as like a regular like teenager.
Yeah.
And then like I came back, like I went to an event like later that year and I was like, oh my God, I kind of miss all of this.
I'm glad.
Like I went there and I went there as a normie. I attended as a normie and I was just like, oh my God, I kind of miss this. Like, and then I came back the next year and I was like, really just my my motivation just like increased like tenfold.
Wow. Okay. Do you feel like, oh, I feel like I was missing out. What am I doing dressing up in nothing? I feel naked. I should be wearing something cool.
No, it's because like I went to like it was like the kind of the biggest event here and like I see like all the people and everyone's just enjoying themselves. I'm like, oh my God, I miss this feeling so much. Like to see all my friends. I'm like, my friends were still there though. Yeah, I just wouldn't say hi. Then I'm just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah, right. I gotta ask actually too, because I had to go through this process myself where same things like, oh, am I enjoying, or well, mine happened after like a breakup. So had a breakup and then I was like, oh, do I really want to do this anymore? You know, go to the events and you still see some people and you talk to them, but you feel like, oh, I feel like I'm missing out. This is, it's different. It's a different thing. But there were people there who I thought, you know, friends, but I wasn't in costume. So they were like, who are you? Like, what are you doing
here? Oh, no.
Like, did you ever get that? Or was it just like, no, that's...
No. People, my friends were still like, oh, hey, and all that. And then they're most of the people don't really question if you just don't show up in costume.
Yeah.
Like, you have your own reasons. So, of course, they won't really ask too much about it. They're just like, hey, oh my God, how are you? And all that.
That's really nice. I'm glad that you've got people in your life like that too, because that's do you feel like you've made most of your close circles, they are kind of in the industry or they are cosplayers as well, or do you feel like, oh, I've got a separate friend group who don't do cosplay at all and they're not interested in that? Or
oh no, dude, all my close friends are like in the cosplay community. Like I knew them for ages. It's like, the you know, that you don't really have to have that many, but like I can count them with my fingers, but like I trust them with my life. That those people.
That's the kind of friends that you want. Oh my God. Now, what has been so far to you the best part about cosplaying or being able to be in the position you are now where, you know, you get to travel, you've probably got a lot of people who look up to you as, you know, someone, oh, I want to be just like Keo, or I want to, you know, be doing what they do. What's the best part, do you think, about being someone like, you know, yourself in the industry? Who, you know, you've got people who look up to you, you get to travel, and, you know, people obviously ask you lots of questions, but what do you feel like is the best part about being someone in your position?
I don't know. I just feel like, I just like meeting the people that like enjoy my work. Cause like, I just feel like personally, I'm just like a regular person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't put myself above people just because, like, I have, like, a bigger following. I'm just, like, if you really come up to me asking me for advice, I'll just give it to you. I'm not, like, gatekeeping anything. I'm just, like, if it helps, it helps, you know? It's just nice to meet other people because especially when you travel, different countries, their communities are kind of different in a certain way.
Yeah.
and you kind of learn some stuff. It's really interesting though.
What's been the most interesting kind of community that you felt is different? Because obviously, you know, Singapore's got their own culture, the way that they look at things, different values. But, you know, you've probably gone overseas as well. What's been the most interesting community that you can remember?
I think the ones that stand out, probably like Japan and like Indonesia.
Okay. What's that like?
Like, Indonesian people are so enthusiastic.
Yeah, wow.
They hype each other. Actually, Filipinos are about the same. Philippines are about the same. They're like, they are so like supportive of their own people. Like, they're like, you don't know the guy, but they're like rooting. They're like rooting for you. Like, they're so nice too. Like, they don't know you, but they're like, they're so sweet. They're the sweetest people. The energy that they give, it's like, it's amazing. And as for Japan, I think it goes for like most people because they're so polite. Yeah. You're just like, this is not normal for like people back home, you know.
Wow.
I went there, yeah, they're like actually genuinely, no, they're polite and they're also like really shy, which I'm just like, I find it very cute.
That's really nice.
Because most of the time, you know, people, when they come up to you for photos, they're like, they'll take a photo with you or something. They literally just they line up like very orderly and they take photos of you and then they just walk away.
Wow.
They'll thank you and then they walk away. I was like, what, you don't want to? Oh, okay.
Do you want to have a chat? Like, what's your name? Okay, see you. Takuya?
No, but they're really sweet.
That's really nice. That's so interesting. I can't imagine, honestly, going to a convention, someone saying, oh, can I get a photo? Sweet. They get a photo, and then they just run off. It's like, have a nice day kind of thing, I suppose. Okay.
No, they do thank you before they leave, okay. But, like, it's weird. Like, it's like... Because they're so shy, they don't even want to, like, take a selfie with you. They just take a photo of you.
Yeah,
and then they're like, thank you, and then they walk away.
To be fair, that was me as a kid when I was first going to conventions. You know, you take a photo of this amazing cosplay, and, like, I don't even know what to say to you. I'm just gonna go now. But
no, but the fact that they line up, though, like, here in Singapore, everyone just, like, walls you, and then they take a photo and just leave.
I gotta see what Singapore's like at some stage, I think. To that matter, do you feel like you're someone who is the person who will walk up to somebody and say hello, or do you kind of wait for people to come up to you and say hello if, you know, it comes to events and stuff?
I think at one point when the community was smaller, I was the kind of person that would go, like, make friends with everybody. But, like, as it started growing, it got, like, way too many people. And at one point, I was just like, I kind of give up. So, yeah, like, right. You know, if you know me, come and say hi, I'll talk to you. Like, I like, talk to everyone who talks to me. So, like, it's pretty chill. Like, not just really just too many people. Like, when I'm at my booth, I don't really go anywhere.
Right.
Until, like, the end of the day, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Do you get that chance to do exactly that when you go to conventions these days when you're not working? So, if you've got a booth or something... You know, you've got panels to do, you've got meet and greets and stuff like that. Do you actually get the chance to walk around the con and explore it, or is most of your time at conventions these days just working?
Usually these days it's working, but I do get to walk around, and usually, like, I would like to say opening, but I'm usually late because, like, you know the thing where people say, like, oh, cosplayers are, like, always late?
Yep.
Absolutely. That's me. Yeah. I am cosplayer.
I understand.
So I walk at, like, the end of the day. So, like, sometimes I walk around and, like, most of the things are sold out. I'm like, ah, well.
Oh, that's what I get. I'm pretty sure you're the same as me, and which would be, like, oh, if I didn't have to be here at 10 o'clock because I have to be there contractually obliged for this booth, I'd probably show up at 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, if that's the case. Yeah, okay.
Preach, dude, that's me. Okay. It's like, I would show up after lunch.
That's okay, so funnily enough, literally today, it's a Sunday, there's a convention happening in my area, and I said, I've got to do some work this morning, but, you know, I'll be done after lunch, it's fine, I'll throw something on and drive there, and it'll be there by 2 o'clock, it's fine, I'm not going to miss out on anything, I hope, but...
Dude, there was this once I went to a con, and I was like, okay, I'll be there at 3, and then for some reason I showed up at 5, and I showed up at 5, and then, like, the con was until, like, 7.
Oh, 7.
It was, like, 5. Yeah, it was until, like, 7, and then everyone was just like, dude, I thought you weren't coming.
It's like, no, I like, said, oh, I'm coming, I'm here.
I showed up, and I was like, oops, I lied. As I said, I was coming at 3, I showed up at 5, and I had a friend that, like, showed up later than me, and I was, I told, and she was, like, on the, She was supposed to come around the same time as well, but then she had some stuff cooped up at home. And then by the time she showed up, I told her, I was like, hey, where are you? And she's like, I'm still in the cab. And I was like, can you tell the guy to like U-turn home? You just go home. You're not gonna come here. Just go home at the rate you're gonna reach here.
Did they rock up in cosplay and stuff as well?
Yeah.
Oh my god. If I was gonna get there that late, I'm just like, don't even worry about the cosplay. They just come and hang out.
Of course, like, dude, tell the guy driving to like U-turn and get you back home. No point in you coming here. Go home.
I mean, to be fair, I enjoy the like after parties and stuff that happen after cons, where it's just meet up with friends, get some drinks, have some food, you know, have karaoke, go to a bar or whatever it is. So that part of it I also quite like, because you know, I feel like that's the time you actually get to hang out with people and, you know, get to know them a bit better. And
dude, we don't really have those in like Singapore.
Really?
We're like really just, yeah, after the con it's like just have dinner and then go home.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any like, I don't know, party cons or anything where it's just like this is the con which people hang out and do stuff afterwards? Or
not really. We have like a couple where they do have like after parties, but those are like bigger ones and it's like official after party. So right. You have to, like, get tickets and stuff. They have, like, my friends are, like, DJs for the event and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
So, like, but it's, like, only one. The rest of the people, like, they don't really see that very often here, actually. It's usually just dinner, and then you go home.
That's so interesting. For us, it depends on the convention. It depends on the convention.
But also, to be fair, most of the people, they go home because they're like, oh, I need to cut my wig for the next day.
Oh, right. One of those things. What about you? If you had the opportunity to say, oh my God, there's like this cool, you know, meetup party happening here with a lot of people, would you be the kind of person to say, yeah, you know what? Let's go do it. That's fun. Or would you be the kind to be like, no, I need my beauty sleep for tomorrow kind of thing?
I'm the second one, but like I don't sleep because I'm a DJ and I just play games. But also like most of the time I am also that person that needs to do their wig last minute.
Right. I see. It's funny because that is usually the experience in Australia as well. You know, if you've got a group of friends, you get dinner, you have a few drinks, and after that's about it. But for I think bigger cons, so for example, Smash, the one that you will be coming to, also PAX down in Melbourne. I think DreamHack, there's like a couple of gaming bars that have opened up. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so people will go to the convention, they will, you know, have a good time, and off, that's all right, cool. Meet here this time just for drinks. Go find your own dinner. But we're going to go here for drinks, we're going to play some games and stuff like that. So it's a nice bit of culture, I think, that has started up, because after a convention, I don't know about you, but when we were younger, we only had like one convention a year, maybe two. So after the convention was over, we call it post-con depression.
Because, oh yeah, you don't want it to be over.
Oh, you don't want it to be over. That's the only event for another 6 months to a year. But now I think we're a bit sport for choice because there's event happening like once every month at least in one city around Australia. So there's lots to do. But yeah, that's really interesting. Because I thought Singapore, of all places, because it's very dense. There's a lot happening in such a small area. So you could very easily go from wherever the convention's happening to, I don't know, some spot which is good to meet up and hang out. But
I mean, technically you still could, but like
people don't, I suppose.
Yeah, people don't. At once, like, I'm tired.
That's it. No, that's fair. I'm gonna say, as we get old, it's like, you know, I don't feel like having a couple of drinks tonight. I'm just gonna go home and have a cup of tea and play some Apex, and that's it. That's going to be my wind down. So now, for people who don't really know you, or they're, you know, obviously not, haven't had the chance to chat with you, what do you get up to when you're not cosplaying, when you're not traveling, when you're not working? What's your what kind of hobbies and interests do you have in that way?
Honestly, if you minus all of those out, I don't really have many hours in the day left. Yeah, but I guess it's mostly I'm just like, I mean, I'm either watching stuff on like YouTube or like gaming or sleeping, to be honest.
Just whatever time you have spare, it's just that's you time. That's very kind of flush it out.
I spend most of those hours in my bin.
Yeah, that's fair. when you are at conventions and stuff though, do you enjoy the socializing aspect, or do you feel like you're more of an introverted person who says, you know, I'll do it because it's my job, but I can't wait to go home and just be by myself kind of thing?
Honestly, that's like a really interesting thing because like generally I'm very introverted,
Okay.
but when I'm at events, like I tend to be more extroverted, but I think it's because like I feel like when I'm in cosplay, like I'm like a whole different persona because like people around me, because generally I'm really shy, so like unless like until I get to like the con event and then I'm just like full blown like, hey guys, how's it going? But like I don't know, it's just a thing that I do. I don't know if like most people do that, but like yeah, like I feel comfortable in that space to be
Yeah.
loud.
Interesting. So,
Because normally like even because I stay in an apartment building, right? So like I go out, like I get in full costume at home and then I go out. Even like when I'm in the elevator and someone comes in, I'm like, oh God, I can never come back here again. Like, oh, don't look at me, please.
Right. But as soon as you get through the convention doors, you're like, yes, this is my
The
space.
moment I get to the convention area and I see one person in a wig, I'm like, hey guys, I have arrived.
I'm here. This is where I belong. This is my
Like
people.
for real though,
That's so
yeah.
interesting.
It's so weird.
No, I think that's a really good superpower to have because any introvert listening right now would be super jealous. They'd be super jealous. Because yeah, think about it logically. It's like, oh, introvert. My energy is good when I'm by myself. When I'm around other people, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Energy feels a bit off. Feel a bit shy. Feel a bit like, oh, where do I start the conversation with people? And no, I definitely talk with because the work that I do, where I work with introverts to become better socially, that's the number one problem they have. It's all right, cool. I want to go and meet people. I want to go and make some friends, kind of thing. But like, how do I do that? Where do I start? What do I say? Am I going to look weird?
But also, I think it's because like I've been in a community for so long. Like I'm just like most people kind of already know me, so I'm just like it's whatever, just go
Yeah.
talk to people.
That's interesting. For yourself, I know because this is going to be running it way back. For anyone who is a little bit introverted and say they are kind of just finding their feet for the first time in cosplay or going to a convention or something, and they really just, same thing, they want to just make some friends, have a good time. What would be your advice to somebody who's kind of just getting started and wanting to, dip their toes in the water for the cosplay community? What advice would you give to someone like that?
Honestly, just you don't have to force yourself onto people. Like if it ha if like a friendship happens, it happens. Like most of the time you can just start off with conversations. Like I mean, you're talking to a bunch of like weebs, right? What do you talk to them about? Talk to them about like anime. I mean, that's how I like talk to most of the people. Like either anime or like game. You just try to find something in common that you can just like get the ball rolling. And then eventually you'll just be like you just like start finding more things in common with people, and you can just start growing a small group. I think that goes for like most like other topics as well, like music, all that kind of stuff. You just need to get that one topic going, and then you can kind of just keep the ball rolling,
Yeah.
I feel. I mean, that's what I do, and like what I usually try to like start conversations with, because I'm not like because normally I'm introverted, right? I'm not like a good icebreaker per se, so I like usually I'll be like I start the conversation with like, yo, how's it going? You doing good, And then they'll talk, right? And they just like start spinning off of that. It's a lot easier than you go like, hey, and then they'll be like, yo, who are you? But
That's a good thing to say actually, because if he's like, hi, I'm like, hi,
like,
yo,
excuse me.
because you're the person starting the conversation, have something to talk about, right? No, I
Because
think.
like especially when like I booth, so like when they buy something, right? And then they most of the time it's if they can't just like most of the time they just stand there and it's kind of awkward. So I'm just like, yo, how's it going? You start something with them, make them feel more comfortable rather than they're just standing there like just looking around and stuff.
Professional salesperson you are. Look at you. Just you know
No,
how
I'm
to
not
run a booth.
selling anything. I'm just like, how's it going, man? Just want to know how
I
they're doing.
mean, because they've obviously come over to your booth because they're interested in your work or they think you're attractive or whatever it might be, but I guess for yourself you've probably figured out that if they're just going to stand here and look at things, this is going to be super awkward for both of us. So
No, but
let's
some
have a
people
quick chat.
just like they feel more comfortable if someone just starts a conversation because they're like me, they don't know how to start one. It's like kind of weird.
I think you've learnt the secrets though. You've been like, okay, I kind of know how to start a conversation now, so here you
By
go.
being that person, I can like Uno reverse it and they'll be like, oh, oh, hey, how's it going?
Well, look, I think that makes you, just individually, just someone who's much easier to talk to, because, you know, I think the hardest people to talk to are the ones who, you know, God forbid, there's been people who have tried to start conversations and they just can't get the ball rolling, because it's like, oh, let's talk about music, games, movies, TV shows, but nothing seems to stick, because maybe that other person is not interested, or they just don't know how to talk back. But it sounds like you've kind of figured out, it's like, okay, you know what, if it's hard for you and it's hard for me, I'm going to make this easy for both of us and see if I can do some more of the talking first.
Generic topics that you just like...
Here, let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about cosplay today. Yeah, okay, very exciting. And it's a start, you know, it's a start. You got to go somewhere. Now, for yourself, you know, you've done traveling around the world. You've obviously been someone who, you know, hasn't always been into cosplay, but it's kind of grown into this thing in which you have turned into a business. It's a bit of a career. Have you ever, because now you're working for yourself at the moment, right? You don't have a boss or anything like that.
I am my boss, and I torture myself quite a bit.
Hey, look, you know how to get work done. If it involves torture and that's the way that you like doing it, then who are we to question the way that you like to work? Has that influenced the way that you feel about, I guess, working in general? Do you feel like you'll ever go back to a job in which, you know, you have to have a boss above you, or you can't work the way that you want to? Or if you were to, you know, what kind of conditions do you think you'd actually like to work in now that you've, you know, been successful running a business by yourself for so long?
I mean, if you're self-sustaining, I mean, there's always a possibility where, like, you might have to go back and get, like, an actual job. And I feel like if I went back, I would raise hell to whoever is managing me, because I'll be like, I ain't doing that, but they'll be like, but... You're of a certain, like, status. They're like, no, you gotta do that. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you've just been, like, sitting... You've been, like, so privileged for so long. And you go back, you're just like, what is this?
Yeah. God, that'd be such a hard thing to want to do again.
Adapt to it.
Do you... Actually, because you said to yourself, you had a sit-down discussion with yourself. You're working a full-time job, and then you were kind of running Patreon at the same time, and then it kind of came to a stage in which you had to decide, you know, do I want to do this full-time, or do I kind of just want to still play it safe? Because I don't doubt that there's a lot of people out there who are doing something similar. You know, they've got a full-time job, but maybe their passion lies elsewhere. Maybe it's, you know, trading Pokemon cards, or maybe it's selling figures, or playing music, whatever it might be. But, you know, that's obviously a side job. The money trickles in. For someone who's wanting to, you know, they've got the side hustle and they've got a full-time job. At what point in time, you know, for yourself, you've done that. What point in time would you say, okay, go for it and don't kind of be afraid for it? What's kind of some kind of things that ran through your head, or what kind of advice would you have for someone in that situation?
Because basically how I was juggling it last time was that, because I used to work like on the retail, on like the frontline side. Yeah, yeah. So like it was like, you know, the usual like 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And then your days off weren't like consecutive. So it's like maybe you work 2 days and then you have like a day off, and then the next day is like a full day shift.
Yeah.
And I had to juggle that and Patreon. So like I had to imagine like taking that the day off, doing like a couple shoots, and then you have to go back and you work a whole day,
right,
like a full shift. And then the other day, maybe it's on the weekend, you go to a con. It's like, it was so tiring to juggle.
Right.
And then like at the point where my Patreon, when it came to that turning point where it was like, it was paying me about the same or more than what my job was paying, I sat down for a bit, because like it's like I said, it was kind of new.
Yeah.
But I was just like, if I'm already getting this much just by working like two days, kind of like maybe 1 or 2 days a week, like if I put my whole time into it, and because I was at that point of time, I was like super into it. I was like, it was what I wanted to do, because I was dreading working. Like, yeah. I really hated working.
Yeah.
Because I was like standing there long hours, and my like higher ups were being like super unreasonable. So I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna make that switch. Yeah.
And did you kind of think, I know you mentioned as well, just you said, oh, you know, what's the worst that could happen? I just have to go back to this job if it doesn't kind of work out. Is that kind of what you were thinking?
Pretty much, yeah. I think the harder part was the, you know, the explaining to your parents what's going on, because, you know, it's not the best thing to do. They'll be like, they don't understand what this is as a job. I mean, it took them a while, even after. Yeah, like, because it's not like the traditional way you would go for a job. But honestly, that's like how everything is changing now. But my siblings, they're super supportive. Like, they kind of managed to, like, talk my mom into, like, letting me do this and stuff, you know. Because they were like, just let her be. She's more of an artistic person, you know. She doesn't, like a sit-down desk job. Like, I mean, legit, like, the most that could happen is, like, I just go back to working, like, a regular job. And she was like, okay, sure, I guess.
How do your parents kind of see it nowadays? Are they kind of chill with it, or are they kind of still like, I'm not sure how long this is going to go for kind of mindsets? Or
how they definitely do accept it as a job. It's just that they'll still like be pissed off if I like make a mess of the living room and stuff. They'll be like, can you get your stuff? But they won't like question, because you know, back then they'll be like, why are you doing this? You're wasting your time doing this, spending money on this. Like, what's the point? Yeah. And now you're just like, can you at least, like, keep the living room clean? Thanks.
Well, I think that you've kind of shown them, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm making enough money that I don't need to ask you for money.
Oh, dude, there was one time where I got on, like, the local newspaper, and my mom did a super Asian mom thing where she, like, cut it out and started showing it to everybody. I was like, oh, God.
Look, it shows like, that she's proud of you. She was like, look at my daughter. Look how wonderful.
But she is. And the funny thing is, normally she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She's like, can you stop messing up my house? And then suddenly I get on the newspaper and she's just like, yep, look at it.
Was she like, oh, house is messy today. Today, you're okay. It doesn't matter because you're in the newspaper.
Oh no, she was just like, she's like legit like spamming everyone on like WhatsApp. Like, oh my God, do you see this?
Do you feel okay? What for you? Would you say is your proudest moment in your career so far in cosplay? Is there like a something which you've achieved, or you know, something you've been invited to, or a particular event that you got to do a particular job for? Can you think of any times which like, you know, that I was really proud of?
I mean, there was one time, but I would say it's very cheesy. It doesn't really have to do with any con or any event. It was just my mom telling me that she was proud of me. Because, you know, as an Asian kid, you're like, you know, moms, they're always berating you. It's like, and then she told me, like, she found me, I legit just cried.
Aww, I cried. That is so hard. Sweet. That is so sweet. I had a...
Because I haven't been the best kid, because in high school I was like, I had like shitty grades and all that. So I've just been like hell to her.
Right.
And then like for that her to say that, I was just like, oh my God.
Aww. Crying. Well, you know, it's traditional Asian parent mindset, which I think anybody in this situation would understand. You know, their values is, you know, we've gotten here because we worked hard to provide a house and put your kids through school, and all you want to do is not get good grades and play dress ups, and then, you know, that's obviously what they see. And obviously, you know, as you get older, you can kind of understand that when you've got your own bills to pay and, you know, you get into relationships and start your own families kind of thing. But I think there's nothing more heartwarming than, you know, your parents saying, you know what, I'm proud of you. You've done so well. And look, see this newspaper clipping? I'm putting it on the fridge. That's where everyone's going to see it.
Fridge.
Oh, that's really sweet. Obviously, it's not always, you know, a straightforward path. It's not always rainbows and sunshine and everyone's, you know, being happy for you. There's obviously probably been times in which you've probably had, you know, times which you thought, oh, this cosplay's not for me, or you've probably even worked for events or with organizers which have sucked. Have there been any, you know, times which stick out to you which you think, oh, that was shady, or that really sucks, or this is really dodgy? Have there been any kind of events like that you've done before?
There has been, like, one. I mean, I wouldn't say what it is, it's the kind that, like, you know, they get, like, really, really, like, overly ambitious. And then you see it, and you're just like, oh, this is not going to end well. Right. And then it does not end well.
So did you end up staying around with that project or that organization? Or did you say, I'm not interested in working with this team?
It did happen, because we were just like, oh, okay, maybe it won't really affect us that much. It didn't really, but, like, it was like for the people who went to that con, it was hell. Because
Right.
normally you as an artist, like it's you have that privilege to like, go from the back and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But them as con goers, they were like they were going through it, man. They were going through it. Like I
Oh.
felt so bad.
Oh dear. So you're like, I'm assuming that event kind of happened once and never happened again, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's one of those, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow. For someone who does, because you've obviously, you can look at events and you know, oh, this is going to be good, or you can look at something and you're like, oh, yeah, I don't know about that one. That obviously comes with, you know, experience. You've gotten to see what works, what doesn't work, the kind of organizers who treat you well, and the ones that seem a bit shifty, I suppose. For someone wanting to get into the industry to kind of learn more about what you do or kind of, you know, do what you do. It doesn't matter where they would be in the world, whether it be Singapore, Australia, or you know, somewhere where there's different opportunities on outside world in America or Europe. What would you say for someone who is saying, "Oh, this is what I want to do," don't really know how to get started? What kind of advice would you give to somebody like that?
I would say if you're starting off, like kind of, you need to value yourself more because companies often be like trying to undercharge you for quite a bit. So like you need to know your self-worth to be like, yo, that's kind of not cool. Because some people if they're starting to get into this, like they got bills to pay and stuff like
Yeah.
that. Doing stuff for free isn't gonna put food on the table, So it's like you gotta set like you need to set couple bars to like kind of just like tell them like hey like unless like you really okay like the only thing that you kind of close one eye to is like if you really want to work with like maybe a specific company maybe so you just like if like, you really like this company you're like I just want to like because if you do something maybe it will grow to something bigger
Yeah.
so if you really want that you can go for it but like if it's like a small company and they're like trying to like rip you off I'd say honestly just value your self-worth because a lot of people really undercharge a lot and we're just like and then they're doing like way too much work for how much it's paid.
Right. Have you ever kind of been in that situation where you feel like, oh, I'm gonna do this because, oh, wow, new opportunity, but then you realize later, you're like, wow, I got overworked and underpaid. Well, did you have a
Yeah,
situation like that?
definitely.
Yeah.
I've done that like a couple of times. I was just like, why are they asking for when you have a client and they make so many changes at last minute and you're just like, I'm not getting paid enough for this.
Yeah, right. Have there been any companies that you've worked for which you can say, hey, this was a great company to work with? You know, they treated me well, they were very communicative, they paid well. Have there been any companies to you that kind of really stick out that you would say, hey, work with this company if you ever get the chance, because they're fantastic to work with?
Oh yeah, I do definitely have a couple. They're not really like companies, but they're kind of like they're like the middleman. Like maybe it's not really an agency, but they kind of handle like stuff coming from like big company clients and stuff like that. But they are like really good. Like the people involved were like super communicative. They'll bump you and then they'll do like write not really write-ups, but they'll like have like a whole
Like a portfolio or
like
something
a.
written up?
Not portfolio per se, but like when you do like individual jobs, they'll have like PowerPoints like with all the things, which are like super helpful because sometimes like the small companies just send you one DM and you're just like, is that it? Like, what am I supposed to? They send you like, and then you have to keep like asking them, but like everything is done like super clearly, and you're just like, I appreciate that.
Because I think for smaller creators, and I've definitely had these kind of messages myself as well, where they just send you a random DM and sometimes it's got your name on it. Other times it just says, oh, hey, you know, creator or something.
Hey,
Yeah, it's like,
cosplayer.
we noticed this in your profile and we'd like to offer you XYZ, which is like a free product or something.
Sounds like a
Oh,
scam,
they
like
all
one of
sound
those
like scams,
scam
yeah.
email.
I mean, for yourself, do you probably get so many different kind of messages in your own DMs from either some are legit, some are not. How do you kind of handle, I guess, business talks and stuff? Do you have like a separate email? Do you have like an agency? Do you kind of just have to sift through the messages yourself? How do you kind of handle those?
I have a separate email and I'm also under an agency because like I was on my own before I joined the agency, you see. So I still have that there. But right now I just forward stuff to my agency so they'll like vet it for me. So like just make sure that it's not like sussy or anything.
Yeah, right. So I noticed with your ages.
No, before that, it was really just like you had to look through yourself and you're just like, I hope I'm not like clicking some weird ass shit. You know?
Yeah, right. I know you mentioned agency, and I only know about this too because, you know, I've been talking with someone from your agency so we could have a chat today. Because it's one of the first times I've actually kind of encountered it, seeing someone who works through an agency. And I think it's fantastic because the communication has been amazing. I haven't had to worry about, oh, is Keo actually going to show up? Is this going to be on the right time? Because I was getting messages, like emails at 2 a.m. or something. I'm like, they're still awake just to send me this email. That's amazing, right?
My girlie over there playing Stardew.
Oh, like, look, she does...
she's playing Stardew, but she's still on top of the email.
Like, she does what she wants. I'm getting an email at 2 a.m. like with the latest update saying, you know, they've done this, you know, is everything okay to go? I'm like, holy crap, I was in bed when that
She started. Replies me at like 4 a.m. and she's like, sorry, I was like on a Stardew marathon. I was like, you do what you gotta do, girl. Do what you gotta do.
For the agency, if you don't mind me asking, has that been like a good thing that you've worked with? Do you think it's been a reasonable, you know, trade-off for, you know, whatever you have to pay them? Obviously they help vet a lot of the offers and deals that you get and probably, you know, help you negotiate contracts and stuff like that as well. Has that been a really big help? Is that something that you discovered yourself or had to apply for? Did they approach you? How do agencies kind of really work, especially with, you know, with cosplay?
At least for Singapore, most of the, like, the people are, like, the community is small. Yeah. I mean, at least the people we know. So, like, most of the people who run agencies like this are people that we kind of know already who used to be, like, cosplayers.
Okay.
So they kind of know the points that we need to highlight, the troubles that we go through and all that. This one, when I joined, it was basically just, like, he's like a long time, like we kind of, you know, you have those people in the community where like you know them for a long time but you never really like did like go talk to them.
Yeah.
Like you know their name.
Yeah.
Like you don't really, yeah, then like we just talked and then we're just like, oh, you know what, because he already had this company for quite like the agency for quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, you know what, like, you know, no harm joining, you know, because I've been like on my own for a while. Then they were just like, if we have jobs for you, you know, we'll just throw it your way. If you're interested, you can take them. If not, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
It just grew to become like a really chill, like business, like business kind of like friendship.
Yeah.
Cause like I didn't really talk to him much before then, and we're just chilling now.
That's nice. And so the way that works is, you know, whatever kind of jobs you get, you just kind of have to pay them a portion of whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
No, that sounds...
It also like kind of made me more aware of things because like I didn't really know like a lot of how to address like a couple of stuff back then, because before that I was just like one of those, you know, they offer X and I'll just be like, oh, if I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. But like through them I realized that I can actually ask for stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, oh, that, I was that's like a bit of a lowball price kind of thing, or you know, if you want me to go to this event.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, I actually can speak up. And I was like, oh, I could do that. Before that, I was just, like, too scared.
Right. So I guess, if anything, they've kind of taught you to know your own value when it comes to, you know, working with companies or when you do receive opportunities and stuff like that.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's really cool. Now, you obviously, you know, you've got invited. You're coming down to Smash in July, which is really exciting. Is this going to be the first time that you've been in Australia yourself? Or I know you mentioned that you've kind of done some traveling before.
I've been to Australia before, like mostly Sydney. I actually been to Smash, I think like 2 years.
Oh, there we go.
But it was like, but it was like way long ago, like pre-COVID.
Yeah. Okay.
Pre-COVID Smash, when it was still at like, was it Rose Hill?
Yeah, the Rose Hill Gardens. It was tiny. Oh yeah. My God.
I remember going there, I was like, we need horses here, what?
Yeah. So you're really going to like the new place. It's the, you know, the convention centre in Darling Harbour in Sydney. So there's a lot more space. It's a lot more organised. All air conditioned, so you don't have to worry about walking out in the heat or whatever. So that's pretty cool.
It's air conditioned, but it's also like, isn't it like near winter?
Near winter as well. So you can wear whatever winter cosplays you've been wanting to wear, but you can't do it in Sydney.
I made the mistake the first year I went there because it was my first time like traveling out of like Singapore, so I was just like, it'll be fine. And I went there, I was like, God, why is it so cold? Because we don't have winter here, it's just heat.
I've heard in
Singapore, when I went there, I was like, God.
I've heard in Singapore, in it's either hot and dry or hot and raining. Are those like the only two seasons you've got?
Oh, no, that's very true, yeah, okay. Though.
So So yeah, if you've got any,
it's really bad.
If you've got any winter cosplay, it's a good time to bust them out because it's going to be good weather for it. But for anybody who is going to Smash and is going to come and see you, what kind of things are they going to see? Are you going to have a booth? Are you going to have panels? What kind of activities are you going to have on?
Oh, I definitely will have a booth. I have a panel, I think, if I remember correctly. Mm. There's also like meet and greets. I'm just like going off the top of my head. I could miss something. But yeah, I think it's like I got a booth, panel, meet and greets. I think that's like a photo session or something. But I need to go like clarify that. But if I remember correctly, I think that's most of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Because I know for a lot of how do you feel when you. You know, you see a cosplayer who's attending an event and maybe there's someone that you've looked up to for a long time or someone that you kind of really respect. Do you feel nervous when you get to speak to people like that or you kind of get the chance here?
Dude, definitely. First, I'll be like, dude, I love your stuff. Yeah. Then I'll just screech. I'll be like, oh my God, I love your stuff. But I mean, I obviously will be nervous.
Hmm.
And then, but yeah, I honestly, I don't even really know what, to, I wouldn't really know what to say, though, to be honest. I'm the kind of person, if I ever meet a celeb, I would just, I would just be the kind that I can't say a word and I'll be, like, shaking.
Wow, okay.
No one of those.
Well, yeah. you're human like the rest of us, really. and, I mean, for every, because there's obviously going to be a lot of your fans who's going to be in Sydney and getting the chance to talk to you and meet you, and they might be very much the same, so nervous and screeching and not really know what to say, but what advice would you kind of give to people who, you know, obviously would be eager to meet you and talk to you for the first time? You seem chill, you seem fun to talk to, so.
I'm the same in real life as I am, like, here.
Yeah, okay. Well, if anyone listening, Kyo's a normal person, okay? Just talk to her.
Yeah, newsflash, I'm normal.
Oh, no. She's what do you mean she's not a
celeb? She's normal.
Oh, no, you're breaking my illusion, please. Oh, dear. But what are you looking forward to about coming to Australia or coming to Sydney and Smash? Is there something that you're wanting to go see or try?
Not really, actually, but I think I haven't really been around like Sydney in general. Like, I've been like once, but like that was like a really long time ago. I'm just excited to go explore. Really,
that's cool. Are you staying in Sydney just for the weekend? Are you gonna spend an extra few days to kind of explore the area, or
I plan to stay like an extra couple few days, maybe like do a photo shoot or something, because I do have like friends there, yeah. So I might go hit them up or something. Yeah, it'd be cool. I haven't seen them in a long time since COVID.
And did you meet them on your last trip to Australia, or did you kind of just meet people online and send them one of those DMs?
Oh, no.
Like, oh my God, I love your stuff, I'm gonna try not to be nervous when I talk to you.
No, I met them like every single time I went to Sydney. They're like my go-to like group. I mean, now they're like kind of like doing their own thing, but like I would still like pop by and be like, hey, are you guys free? You know, we don't go hang out, have a meal or something. And
yeah,
cool. It's kind of nice.
That's nice. Are you kind of traveling over to Australia by yourself? You're gonna have like an entourage with full security and everything, or how's that kind of?
Oh no, no, I think it's just me. I don't have that.
Do you find the traveling solo experience has been a very enjoyable thing for you? Because I talked to some of the other guys, they said, you know, we have to travel solo quite a bit because, you know, as a cosplay guest, you have to go to a con and you go to a country, you don't know the language. And so you are traveling by yourself quite a bit. But I also know some friends of mine who said, oh, I would never go to a convention by myself. It's too scary. I don't know people. How do you kind of find it yourself?
I mean, if you're like a guest, usually most of the time you'll be fine. I mean, though, every now and then there'll be like, you know, some scares, like you show up at the airport and no one's replying you kind of situation, but most of the time you're in safe hands. But I understand when people are like, oh, I'm too scared to go to a con alone, like I don't speak the language and all that. I mean, if you're a con goer, I mean, it's fair, like it's scary.
Yeah,
most places have like, especially if you're like in a place that is really like different to what you're used to, and like, yeah, it can be pretty hard. You don't know where to go, and you have to kind of find out what the etiquettes are, because sometimes it's like what you're doing is like not cool there.
Yeah,
you really have to go like look it up. Yeah,
are you the kind of person to go to a con, like let's say, you know, by yourself? You're not working, so you don't have a booth or anything. You're not sure if your friends are going to be there or not. Would you be the kind of person to say, no, fuck it, I'll go to the con anyway and see what's happening? Or would you be like, I'm not going to go to this one because, you know, I'm not working, don't have lots of friends there?
Not really. Like, it depends. Like, if I'm free and I feel like, I mean, sometimes, actually most of the time, if I go down, I'll be in cosplay because I'm just like, why would I go down so normie, kind of boring. Most of the time it's fine because, like, I probably find someone there that I know.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah, at least go, like, can go around. Like, even if it's for, like, a short while, like, kind of just go, like, have a look, you know? Yeah, but usually if I'm free and I'm feeling, like, okay, I'll just go.
That's cool. I'm glad that you still have the sense of, like, no, stuff it, I'm just going to explore, see what's around, and I might meet people. I might have a good time either way, so I think that's really cool. Now, I just didn't even realize. I just looked at the clock now. I'm like, oh, we've reached the end of our hour. How was the podcast? Did you feel like...
That was so fast.
I'm glad. I always ask that to people because to me it just says, oh, cool. Like, it was a good chat. It means we weren't even having to worry about, you know...
Yeah, it was. It was nice, actually. It's pretty
good.
Cool.
No, thanks for... I'm glad you enjoyed it. But no, thank you very much, Keo, for joining us on the Just Because podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
As you know, they will be in Sydney for Smash in July. Please check the official Smash page for any details of dates and meet and greet tickets and etc. They'll show you updates. But yeah, for Keo, anyone still listening in, where can they find you online so they can find your adventures?
You can find me on probably most social platforms at Keo Cosplay. Yeah. It's mostly in.
Are you mostly like an Instagram or an X person or a YouTube person? What's most of your focus?
Mostly Instagram. Instagram and X. I mostly spam on X.
Okay. Follow the in detail version of the adventures on X. And follow the one with, it's a little bit more concise. Go to Instagram for those ones.
The abridged version.
The abridged version is fantastic. but again, thank you so much for joining. Again, thank you to Smash for letting us have the opportunity to have a chat. And for anybody who is heading down in July to go to Smash, we'll see you there. And if you're not going, buy a ticket, so we'll see you there. Okay? But that's it for today. Thanks very much for tuning in again. We'll catch you guys again next week. If you want to tell Keo how much you love them, drop us a comment, put it on the YouTube, put it on the Instagram.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button, gamers. You're going to love it.
Smash that smash button.
Smash the smash button. Let her know it.
No.
We're going to sign out now. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. All right. Bye.
Bye.